everybody around the world. You were on the Mike and Abe show, and Carolyn is with us again, as always.
Hi, Mike and Abe.
As we love to have her here. And what's going on here? I turn on the computer this morning, and I see this Mr. Alex from Malakas riding around with Channel 5's whatever her name is, Roseanne Adana.
From
Fox 5 News, and they're talking about this is the end of taxi drivers, you know, and they're all going to need a job within 5 years, right? Is this true?
Well, yeah. you can thank in the spirit of Mother's Day, you can thank the mothers at Uber for their the destruction of the yellow can to this point, and they went public, and they're the first, from what I heard in the stock news, they're the first IPO to go public in the last 8 years to have, like, what is it, 8% less than their opening bid with the going. Carolyn, you're
right. Right. They're down 8% the first day, and some other recent IPOs, other than Lyft, of course, have done pretty well, like Pinterest and Zoom. Mm-hmm. Dharakash Rashahi, the CEO of Uber, was blaming the fact that the stock market was down. He was blaming Trump, basically, because of the China trade tariffs.
Just blame everything on Trump. That's all.
Right. Well, it's easy. That's what everybody in New York does, too.
But, Carolyn, how do you say his name again? This is why I love Carolyn. How do you say his name? You know how to say his name. The guy from Uber?
Yeah, there's nothing mysterious about the pronunciation, unlike Khashoggi, the guy who got beheaded and cut up in the Saudi embassy. Yep. That's very hard to pronounce, but his name is pronounced just the way it's spelled: Khosrowshahi.
Okay.
Dara, first name.
Okay.
So anyway, but then the market went up in the second half of the day, and Uber stock didn't go up. And I can't find anything positive in any financial publication about Uber. I just opened up a copy of Barron's. The first article: Uber skids straight into a ditch.
Well, you're talking about skidding, you know, actually what Uber is selling is sand on the beach.
If I was selling dollars on the corner for 75 cents, I'd have a lot of sales, too.
You know, I feel bad for the shadow banners at Twitter. Apparently you have a nest of pajama boys and pajama girls who sit around all day long passing judgment on what you're tweeting. And Uber's not Twitter, in my opinion, is not really doing that much about it. And you have shadow banning, where if you send something that these small group of idiots don't like, they, like, delete it. I don't know how they do it, but they do.
You mean like something that's an emotional trigger that will upset people, things like that?
Yes.
Mm. Oh,
so
wow.
You can say, you know, something what they like, and it'll say something they don't like. But this is like a little cabal of weirdos shadow banning. And the one thing I was, jumping back to what you're saying, Carolyn and Abe, is are they going to start shadow banning Forbes and Bloomberg? Because Forbes and Bloomberg were on the same page as us for a change, talking about this Uber fiasco. And even the guy from Cramer, not the Seinfeld Cramer, but the Cramer business guy from CNBC. He said basically, you have to be nuts if you invest in Uber. That's him. That's not us.
Well,
so,
once they see it going down, you know, everybody's going to say, oh, I didn't like it all along. But he was actually touting it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Uber guy, Darrow, was at Starbucks, and they were talking about how you could get a cup of coffee delivered by Starbucks by Uber. In Manhattan.
What I want to know is who were these people that actually bought the stock? You know.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of shares.
You know,
if they closed at $65 billion, and they sold at 40, so that's what was it, like a billion and a half shares of stock? I mean,
the Uber IPO was 180 million shares.
Yeah.
And that would have given them at $45 an $82 billion valuation.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, that didn't really happen. And I don't know exactly what the valuation is now. It's 70-something billion dollars, so they've already lost.
Well, you know, frankly, I think they're worth less than zero.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
they,
because
they lose money every year.
Right. Yeah. Stocks are priced in anticipation of future earnings, and there are none. And now they're saying maybe we'll have some earnings by 2030.
Then why would anybody want to buy their stock? I just don't get it. Why would anybody buy their stock?
The greater fool theory. that, you know, you hope that there'll be some greater fool next week that you can unload your shares onto.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the only explanation.
How many stocks are on, if you added up all the stocks on NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange, and all around the world, I mean, the stock exchanges.
Yeah, what are they worth? That's a really good question.
No, but the question is, how many stocks are there? You know, 100 million? Okay, I mean, take a wild guess. You know,
you mean numbers of companies?
Yeah, how many stocks are there out there that you can buy and take a chance with and have a reasonable chance of making money? Why would you want to buy a stock that they're admitting they don't make any money and they don't figure they're going to make any ever?
Right, and I just read today that 65% of IPOs underperform the market in general within, I don't know, the next year or so of trading, or I forget how many years. So, I mean, the odds are against you to begin with on an IPO. Of course, there's always some spectacular successes like Beyond Meat. I forget how much that went up, but that made a lot of money, and that came out about the same time. But, no, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's no barrier to entry into this market. Anybody could get into it. And if they raise prices to increase profitability, then they'll lose their customers. So,
well,
I don't know what they can do. So besides Uber Eats and Uber freight delivery, and Lyft is going into the car repair business. So not only are they going to self-insure their drivers, but they're going to repair the cars.
Oh, yo, they're going to repair the cars. Yeah. You know, when I got out of the Army in 1970, I went and I took the first job I could find, which was working in a handbag factory on West 28th Street between 11th and 12th Avenue. And at least once a day or twice a day, the boss would say to me, Abe, run down to the corner and get us three coffees, three ham sandwiches, and whatever, you know, a couple of pastries. It was Abe Eats. You know, you should sue them. What are they, most businesses have a gopher, as they call them. You know,
right.
I mean,
well,
what are you? What are you gonna do? Call up Uber? You know, I see them around where I am in Florida, but very seldom. You know. Okay, they're in
McDonald's.
No, here
they're all over the place. And it's unfortunate for the restaurants, because the restaurants would, you know, prefer to use their own guys to deliver. But because everybody's calling Uber up, they have to use Uber Eats. So then they have to give Uber Eats a slice of every, you know, check. So if the restaurant needs to raise prices to cover that, then Uber tells them, no, you can't raise prices.
Well,
I don't understand how that's legal.
If I may, with the Uber thing, I see some of these Uber. These guys, a lot of them, they're not washing their hands. The bag is open. God knows if they got like special sauce on the hamburger that nobody knows about. And they're not. Yeah. They're not. You know, checked by the Board of Health, or they don't take a food preparation course. I mean, you get a thing from Uber Eats, I think you're taking your life in your hands. I mean, how do you know who this guy is? I mean, this is just some guy. And I've seen them pick up the food. They don't wash their hands before they grab the food. They don't, you know, the guy.
Right.
One guy looked like he just came off a binge, and he's going to be bringing your food, and it seems very unsanitary.
This,
I mean, it's like gross.
I put up a story this morning on NYC Taxi News. Back seats of Uber Lyft vehicles carry more germs than toilet seats. Study finds.
I saw that.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for plastic upholstery and hosing out your cab every once in a while, which you can do.
Yeah.
You can't do that in a car with cloth and or leather seats.
This is true.
It's just going to get dirtier and dirtier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when are we getting a fare increase? That's what I want to know. When are we getting a fare increase?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Carolyn, go.
Right.
Never.
Never?
Never.
Never?
Cuomo took your fare increase, your $10,000 a year, $50 to $60 a day,
I still say they could add 10 cents to the mileage, each click, or 5 cents, even 5 cents.
Yeah.
Instead of 50 cents a click, make it 55 cents a click, okay? I'm sure we could get...
Is anything happening with this lawsuit? I keep hearing they're in court, they again with the they,
Which lawsuit?
Which one? The one that is supposed to be was supposed to have stopped at $250 a trip.
Oh, okay, that's still ongoing. You know, these lawsuits—they take months, years.
But well, I mean, I thought it was going to be a 1-2-3, at least some kind of decision. It's you know, what happens?
Now we're fighting the next part of the congestion pricing, because they may very well charge taxis $11 to come into Manhattan.
Well, that's a lot less.
So then it'll seem like a triumph that you're only having to pay $2.50 a trip.
No, something. They could charge taxis $11 a trip, and give us a fare increase, and we wouldn't mind paying the $11 because these trips, these $2.50 trips, are adding up to $50-$60 a shift. Okay.
A shift.
I know.
Right. So
it's crazy.
Give us that $50-$60, and we'll pay $11 to go into the zone.
Well, now they're even thinking of a new thing to determine vehicle miles traveled of every vehicle and charge cars by vehicle miles traveled.
Well, how are they going to do that? Every single car, they're going to know how many miles it traveled? I mean,
that is what they want. And it's the money, but it's also they want surveillance. You know, the ability to surveil, and they want control over the population. It's very valuable information to know where everybody is every moment of the day.
Well,
you know, who was near you, who you met with, how long you stayed there. It'll be used against you. Maybe not this year, but it will. I'm taking off my tinfoil hat now.
This whole world is coming down to that, because I went into Walmart the other day, something you don't have in New York City still, I think, right? Okay.
Right.
And I went in to fill a prescription at the drug counter, okay? Or the pharmacy counter, I should call it, right? And there was a thing there, check your health, where you put your arm in, right?
And the blood pressure?
Yeah, it measures your blood pressure. And then at the end of, after you sit there for about 5 minutes doing this, it says, we'll email you the results. And I got up, I said, oh, they want my email address. Do they want my DNA and my fingerprints also? You know, I mean,
right, that way they can track you.
You know, they couldn't give me the results right there and then, you know.
Oh, they wouldn't give it to you unless you gave them an email?
Yes.
Wow.
So I just got.
What if they structure the email depending on your results? Like, if they say you're on the way out, it's like, well, I'll send them an email for a funeral home versus a Corvette.
Right. Well, then they'll share your information, perhaps with insurance companies.
Well, I just got up and walked out. I said, I don't need to know. I have a doctor that I see 3 times a year, and that's good enough for me. All right. I mean,
wear Fitbit, you know, where you track your mileage and your heart rate and all that kind of stuff. All that's recorded too.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the data. It's very scary.
I'll tell you, that's the disaster of. Today, I mean, you get people with these health plans. They ask you, have you ever smoked? Have you ever smoked? It's like, I lived in New York. I lived in Brooklyn. Have I ever smoked? Like, ever in my life have I smoked? And if you lie and say no, or, you know, I mean, I don't know who hasn't smoked at least sometime in high school, like 50
right.
years ago.
In the bathroom.
It's like a 50-year question. I mean, they don't say, like, have you smoked in the last 20 years or 5 years? It's like, have you ever smoked? It's like, then everybody goes, oh yeah, just say no, just say no. It's like, well, I don't want to say no, but it's like, you know, then you're in the jackpot.
Even if you never smoked, you have smoked because everybody around you was smoking.
Yeah, like with Uber, like with 50,000 additional Uber cars. I would think that's worse than smoking. I mean, what's worse, smoking a pack a day or adding 50,000 Uber cars in 5 years? The city is crazy.
And New York State is having or had hearings last month about divesting its investments from fossil fuels, just like New York City had hearings about that. But the issue of the additional 85,000 cars never comes up. And who knows how many additional cars we have in New York State now that everybody became a TNC.
You know, it's funny, but maybe they just want to be in denial about the 85,000 cars or whatever, the 100,000. But, you know, this is not coming from New York. It's coming from San Francisco. It's coming from anywhere that Uber has saturated. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so can 25 cities be wrong? The people there be wrong? If you ask the politicians, they go, well, we have to control the traffic. We're going to charge congestion pricing. If you ask the citizens, they say, what, are you crazy? Get rid of the Uber cars. You know?
Yeah, some do.
Yeah, I know.
Same problem all over the world. It's not just here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, the people know the truth, and the politicians turn their head to the truth. That's the point.
Well, it's worse than turning their heads. I again, back to the shadow banning. In my opinion, with the Twitter. I sent a couple of things to at TWU, which is a Transit Workers Union, and then at TWU Local 100, which is the subway and bus people in New York City. And I asked myself, I sent a tweet, I said, have you ever invested in Uber with the union? I didn't see that tweet. I didn't see that tweet in my history of sending the tweet. And then I asked him another time, I said, why are there ads on the back of city buses? Isn't that removing valuable funds from the MTA and bus system if you're advertising for car share app cars on the back of a city bus? The city buses are empty and the subways are empty. And again, that tweet was gone.
Are you
so again, that's...
Mike, are you saying that you put it up as a general tweet, or you sent the tweet to somebody?
Maybe you can school me, because I sent it directly to them. I put at TWU and at TWU Local 100. And maybe I just have to send it as a general tweet.
Yeah,
send it directly to them.
Send it as a general tweet and then let other people retweet it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Send it to Nicole Gelinas, because she writes a lot about the TWU and Metro North and Long Island Railroad.
Who's she?
She's at the Manhattan Institute, and she also writes for something called City Journal. Manhattan Institute is like a think tank, and she tends to write a lot about transportation, and she uncovers a lot of interesting things. Like today, she posted a tweet that the Long Island Railroad has spent $1 million enforcing the alcohol ban on the Long Island Railroad. Because people take the railroad like to have a drink when they're coming home from work. They're not allowed to anymore. They spent $1 million.
Right. So instead of selling alcohol, they're spending many money.
Yeah, to prevent people from drinking on the Long Island Railroad. It's just throwing money away.
Yeah.
Similar to the city council had a hearing on Friday. The Budget Committee and the Transportation Committee on the TLC budget. And one of the questions that came up, and it was actually from Idanis Rodriguez, who is a nice guy, and he speaks up for us, so I want to give a shout-out and give him some credit for that, absolutely. He hasn't forgotten about us like some people have. But he was asking Bill Heinzen, who's the acting TLC commissioner, about when are we going to open up mental health centers for cab drivers? So I sent Idanis an email. You know, I said, thank you, but please save the taxpayers this money. This is insulting to us, and everybody gets very upset when they think about it, and it's a waste of money. And nobody should have a job or a profession that is so horrible to do that you need to have counseling to do it.
I think they
should. When are they going to open mental health centers for the people who put 50,000 Uber cars on the road in 4 years?
Mental health clinics for people that bought the Uber stock.
Yeah.
That's a big support for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just, the other thing with this whole mess is I sent another tweet. First of all, the House Twitter thing for you is at NYC Taxi News, correct?
Yes. All one word.
Yeah, at letters.
At NYCTAXINEWS. Okay, all one word.
Okay, that's you.
Okay.
And I tried to get something. I got a nice default tweet name, so I'm at talk_NYC. They gave me like talk_NYC out of the blue, which I'm like, okay, fine by me. And Carolyn, do you have a tweet thing? Am I allowed to say that?
No, I don't know how to do that.
Okay. That's because you're smart. She wants to get
you. And Abe had said, I'm just retarded.
No, she has a tweet alias.
You're retarded but happy. That's the good thing.
I don't do anything. Yeah. But I read everybody else's tweets now, because I find that's where the really interesting information is. And Mike, I will send you Nicole Gelinas's website and Twitter and all that stuff, because she's very thorough. She uncovers all kinds of little interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, she uncovered something in the congestion price bill that says they're supposed to take into account the licensing fees and the cost of entering the business, like the price of the medallion. this board that hasn't been created yet is supposed to look at that and, perhaps exempt yellow taxis from congestion fees. So she found that. So credit to her on that one.
Well, wasn't Yoshi on the news? I'll ask each one. Wasn't Nosy? I keep calling her Nosy.
Oh, she gave another interview, didn't she?
She was on New York One. Right. Okay, I posted that also. Let me see if I can.
She was on another one after that, a podcast.
Uh-huh.
I can't even remember which organization it was. Oh, it was the Citizens Budget Committee.
Nice.
That's what she was on after the New York One interview. She has talking points. I know these talking points so well, the TLC could hire me. I could go out and do them. It's the same stuff every time, you know. They're not responsible for medallions, medallion values. They're interested in driver welfare, accessibility, and safety. And that's it. They have no responsibility beyond that.
Well, considering all the drivers are on welfare now, thanks to her, I guess she mission accomplished.
Well, well, another talking point is she'll tell you that every driver got a $10,000 raise who works for Uber.
How nice.
They're saying that they got paid $152 million more since the driver income rule went into effect. And by the way, Lyft was challenging that rule in court, and they let it stand. So Lyft lost in court. They have to adhere to the driver income rules.
That sounds like fuzzy math to me.
Let me talk. If you go to NYC Taxi News, the news page, on May 10th, dated interview with Joshi, or whatever you want to call her, Zoshi. Okay.
But it's not pronounced like it.
Okay, it's an audio interview. Okay, I don't know how many minutes. Let me take a look here. It's with the CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting.
No, Citizens Budget Committee.
Oh, is that what that is? Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Citizens Budget Committee. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's also CBC in Canada, Canadian Broadcasting.
Right, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this interview is, I need my magnifying glass to see the number. It's 40 minutes long, you know, and she says the same things over and over again, over and over again.
Yeah,
you
mainly
know?
She's been saying we don't need a cap.
Yeah.
We don't need a cap on vehicles.
Oh,
they have other means of controlling the growth, such as the driver income rule, or perhaps the utilization rates. But, I mean, my argument with using that as a metric is, let's say we could have 300,000 Uber cars on the road and they have 100% utilization, so they're busy all the time. Would that be good public policy? No, of course not. So why would you use that?
She finally outed herself. Yeah, she finally outed herself as being a complete screw-up with saying, we don't need a cap. It's common sense you need a cap. The yellow cab has done very good with a cap. We're the only ones with a cap. Everybody else is starving to death. At least we're making a shred of a living. But so Carolyn, the other thing I noticed, she still has her public service announcement in the back of the chair. She goes, hello, this is Joshi, the chairperson. It's like, listen, a little red alert there, folks at the TLC. Joshi is not the chairperson anymore of the TLC, but her public service announcements keep running in the cab saying she's the TLC chairperson. Now she's running around on New York One and doing all these testifies. Listen, it almost reminds me of a couple of ex-girlfriends I had. You know, it's like she doesn't want to go away. It's like, listen,
haunting you.
Yeah, it's like, listen, stop calling.
Well, you know, now that she's not working for the government anymore, okay, she's freer to say.
Well, I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Well, on paper, okay.
But she is working for the Rudin Center, which is part of Wagner, which is the graduate arm of NYU.
Uh-huh.
And it says on the Rudin Center's website that they are funded by large transportation companies. By the way, anybody who's listening, if you know who's funding the Rudin Center, because they do have separate funding, please get in touch with NYC Taxi News and let us know. Because in order to figure out why somebody's thinking something or saying something, what do you have to find out? Where's the money coming from?
Follow the money.
That's what we want to know. And I can't find that out.
Nobody
will tell me.
Listen, what I was trying to say was she's not an employee of
not
the
officially
city.
A government.
She's not an employee of the city of New York. She's not an employee of the state of New York. Okay? And you know, what she's doing, you know, she's freer now to say what she's been thinking all these years. Okay? You know, when she was the head of the TLC, she had to keep her mouth shut about what she was really thinking, you know, and make like she cared about what was happening to the yellows, okay?
Right.
But it's obvious to me that she never cared, okay?
Well, she's making another appearance tomorrow. She's going to be at the Rudin Center at 9:30 in the morning in the Puck building on Houston Street. She and somebody from MTA Veronica, okay. Victoria, Vanderpool, and two other women, and they're going to talk about women in transportation and how they succeeded. Well, okay, other than destroying a $15 billion industry and causing 9 suicides, that's how you do it.
Well, you know, she's really something. I mean, you know, I mean, first of all, the Rudin Center, you're saying that it's funded by transportation people, whatever. Is that
that's what it says on the website.
Is that the government? That's not the government. That's the thing.
Okay, yeah. This is one of my pet peeves. Yeah. There are many think tanks in the United States and all over the world. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Hoover Institute. I mean, the Rudin Center, they're not elected. They're not accountable. And yet they have a lot of influence. You know, and you don't even hear about them that much. Not the average person. Like, if you're in the transportation business, you might know who they are or understand what their thinking is or read their papers. But, I mean, you don't really think people in the city council think up these policies by themselves, do you?
Well, they should think up the policies by the people that elected them, okay? And if they're not, then they shouldn't be on the city council. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think it works that way.
I know you've said that to me. It doesn't work that way, but it should work that way. And the people should uprise. You know,
did they have a think tank who came up with the Haas Act? No, it was obvious what they needed to do. They needed to have a cap, and they did it.
Yeah.
I think it was virtually unanimous in the. It wasn't the city council; it was the board of. Aldermen, I think they called themselves.
Yeah,
then.
Right.
And they knew they had to do it, and they capped it at 16,000, and they couldn't even, you know, have not even 16,000 guys wanted to be out there on the street, so it was only 11,000.
Well,
you didn't need to do a study.
Let me just say this, you know, I'm not against Uber operating at all, okay, which I wish they would operate not at all, okay? You know, I'm against them taking the street hails in Midtown and with this nonsense app saying, they tap their app. It's prearranged. It's not prearranged. Okay. And even if they're going to do that, okay. And you know, since the morons sitting behind the bench in these courts, okay, you know, decided that that wasn't an issue. Okay. Which I still...
This never should have come down to a case in
A
court of law, because the judges don't know.
Well,
you know, you can't really expect them to know.
Okay, let me finish my thought here, okay? What should be done is just please figure out how many of these cars are actually needed to do this app work, okay? And get the rest of those cars off to the street,
Right, but you know, you and I would come up with a number.
Yeah.
And somebody at a think tank like the Rudin Center is going to come up with a very different number.
I don't care what they come up with. I want reality, all right? I don't need the Rudin Center to figure this out. We have very intelligent people in the city of New York that can figure this out without the Rudin Center, all right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I have a good metric. When somebody like Doug Shifter, who killed himself, blew his head off in front of the city council last year, when somebody like Doug Shifter could go back and make $100,000 a year and have a nice life, that's how I know it's the right amount of cars on the road, and it's all going to work itself out.
Okay.
That used to be the case.
Look, any car that's doing less than 10 or 15 trips a shift has to go. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
What more is there to say? A taxi goes out on the street still today and still can do 10, 15, 20 trips in the shift, if not more. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Okay, I know this firsthand. Okay?
Because I
am a medallion owner. All right? And I know what's going on. All right? I'm not an idiot. Okay? I'm not making this up. Okay? What needs to be done is to get rid of these cars that are out there for no good reason. All right?
Right,
and then everybody will make money. The medallion value will rebound. It won't be $1 million, but it'll be sellable. Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, all right. Agreed. You're in charge.
Yeah. Well,
you should
be
the next PLC commissioner.
I should be, but I'm not. I'm retired. I'm supposed to be retired. I drove for 42 years. What more do they want from my blood? All right.
Well, let me just tell you something. As far as expand and contract of the worst workforce. I ride this, unfortunately, I have to ride the bus or the subway sometimes at rush hour. I don't know how these people do it every day. The morning time, they're packed, but at night, you have very limited amount of people on the buses, very limited amount of people on the train. All the business has apparently been sucked away by Uber group riding, and they're paying the drivers about a third of what a normal MTA employee would make, but yet the MTA employees have stayed the same. So I'm just wondering, at what point do they have mass layoffs of MTA because of this whole glut of cars put up by the Taxi Commission and Mayor de Blasio? And like I said, one of our blog people on the board on NYCTaxiNews.com poo-pooed me, saying, oh, no, this is all Bloomberg's fault, Bloomberg. It's like, listen, de Blasio's been running this show for 6 years, and his hench person, Yoshi, who's now gone, has gone on record on New York One in these little interviews after she's gone and says we should not have a cap on the vehicles. So apparently we've been BS'd by de Blasio and Yoshi for 6 years about the fact they're going to do something, which in the city charter says they have to protect driver earnings. And she said, we'll look into it. She was a big look into it person. Every time she said those controversy, we'll look into it, she didn't look into anything. And now that the cat's out of the bag, she's going on these talk shows talking about how we don't need a cap. We need a cap. The yellow cab did very well for years because we had a cap in 1937 called the Hass Act, where what was happening then is exactly what's happening now with chaos in the street and too many cars. So the mayor at the time had the presence of mind to cap the number of yellow cabs. And for 75 years, everybody made a living until the wrecking crew of de Blasio and Joshi with their mantra of keep the poor poor, which in my opinion they need to maintain their poverty base for elections, my opinion. But now we have a situation where we have all these cars running willy-nilly, pollution all over the place, abandoned cars all over the place, garbage from cars, and the drivers are making a living. So it's been a complete fiasco. And getting back to the main point with my little ramble-on thing, the buses are empty and the subways are empty at the height of rush hour, and no money is coming in. Oh, and the crosstown bus the other day, the driver had stuffed cardboard in the fare box. He couldn't even accept the payment. So I'm still trying to figure what the hell that is. So back to you guys.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've never had a Metro card that lasted more than a month. I always have to buy a new one because they stop working.
Look, here's a thought. Here's a thought for you, you know, concerning driverless cars, you know, or autonomous cars, as they would call them. And, you know, and Carolyn, you showed us some videos of the people that have plans. They want to narrow the streets and just, you know, and keep only have pedestrians.
Right.
And how will the city of New York meet their budget needs when there are no more parking tickets being written?
Yeah, you're right. And how would they, you know, pay for all the infrastructure that you'd have to put in place?
Right, with no more parking tickets, you know? I believe that half the money they get, or a big, big portion of the money that the city takes in is from parking tickets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, I don't know how much it is a year.
Yeah, but that's a good question, I would think, you know? How are you going to get along? How are you going to get the money to do all this stuff without parking tickets, okay? And to maintain things and to pay all the overtime the police get and all the overtime, you know, everybody gets, whatever, who works for the government, without parking tickets, okay?
Well, the main source of revenue is real estate taxes. And the main part of your rent is real estate taxes.
Uh-huh.
Even if you don't own a building or an apartment,
You're
still paying a lot of real estate taxes, even with your rent. And all these new condos that are going up, you know, $24 million, $50 million apartments, they're not paying any taxes for the next 20 years. I mean, how is that fair?
How can the car move? Because apparently the driverless car is going to obey the letter of the law.
Right, so you could just walk in front of it.
Yeah, so if you have somebody jaywalking in front of a driver's car, which is all the time, the car's not going to move. The car will sit there for the rest of the day.
New Yorkers, the way they are, they'll never look at another traffic light. They don't even look now. Yeah. Once you have that, I mean, nobody will ever look.
They should have.
By the way, the geniuses, I'm listening to the Met game the other day. It's bad enough I have to listen to the Mets, but then a commercial comes on in the middle of another Met loss, and they're talking about, Vision Zero reminds you that be careful taking left turns left turns are the most dangerous turns in the city. It's like, yeah, left turns are the most dangerous turns in the city now because you littered the streets with bike lanes, which are altogether class on the left side of the street for the most part. And the other thing is that, oh, and remember, it take your left turn going 5 miles an hour. They're 5 miles an hour. I'm lucky if I can turn at all because there's no cops directing traffic. The only traffic cop I see is a traffic cop, not NYPD. I think they're mad at the mayor for a lot of stuff. And like one little traffic cop was holding back the sea of traffic on 7th Avenue going into the Holland Tunnel. But again, with all these bike lanes, you have motorized bikes are the king of the road now, and you can't even take a left turn because you get bikes who want to hit your cab. You get bicycles and motorized bikes, they want to have an accident to sue you. So thank you very much, the geniuses of the traffic department, for flooding the streets with bike lanes. And now they have motorized vehicles in the bike lanes, and you can't take a left turn. Back to you guys.
Look,
and they're also in the bus lanes, and they're going the wrong way.
Look, here's the solution.
Here's
the solution. Vote everybody who's in city government out and get people in there that will deal with reality and do mm-hmm. reality things, okay? You know, mm-hmm. Carolyn, you showed me a video, one of those videos you sent me, where they were delivering things via, like, a tram rail.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I go, they're going to do truckloads of deliveries on a tram rail?
Right.
What are they, nuts? You know?
But then you still have to go out into the street to get it. I mean, that's really the hard part of the delivery, if you're getting a mattress or a TV or
something. How are they going to deliver to supermarkets that get truckloads of stuff daily, you know, with rails up on top? You know, I mean, you're delivering small little packages. When are you going to put an 18-wheeler, the cargo area on a rail on top, you know? I mean, and you think that won't block traffic? Or, I mean, it's the whole idea is bizarre. You know, it's little babies making up these ideas that are 16 years old and 18 years old and haven't been around for a while. You know. Look, there's got to be a solution to the problems of the city of New York, but it's not delivering packages by upwards rails, whatever you want to call it, tram rails. Okay, that's not mm-hmm. a solution. The solution is to get the traffic down to what's only needed. Okay?
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Fix the subways. Make them modern. You know, like you look around the world in other countries, they have modern subway systems. Okay? You know, that work.
And where's our money going? Where's our $250 a trip money going? That's gone. They have people with carve-outs now.
Yeah.
With building bridges on Long Island. And now New Jersey says, oh, we don't want to pay for cars coming into the city, which is a lot of traffic. So you talk about all this money coming in.
Right, the police don't want to pay. I'm sure the teachers who drive don't want to pay.
It's coming back to us. We're the only ones.
Yeah, if you live in the congestion zone and you make under $60,000 a year, you won't have to pay it. I think you'll pay it, but you'll get it back on your income tax return. That's how they decided to do it. So, yeah, we'll be the only ones who are paying it. But I guess they knew that. You know, now we're going to be grateful if they exempt us from the $11, you know, daily charge.
Yeah, well,
I just wish the so-called leadership would have been a little more proactive early on to get in front of all this stuff, because it seems the only time our leadership, whoever they are, does anything is when it's the 11th hour. There's no proactive, there's no schmoozing beforehand to make sure we got some friends on our side, which we used to have back in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s. But apparently such is not the case. We're going from the ground floor, and the only thing I see in general is the poor little Beta V from the Taxi Workers Alliance doing jumping jacks in front of the governor's office. I mean, that's nice, it's great, I appreciate what they're doing, but you got to have some structure.
Beta V should be the speaker at the city council.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, she should probably run for a seat.
Yeah, okay. You listening, Beta?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we want you in office. All right, you're doing a great job, but it's not getting the job done. Okay,
yeah. She was lambasted. Yeah. She was lambasted at the Post, which I wasn't too thrilled about. They did a big article. Oh, Uber strike flop. Uber strike didn't flop. Uber strike when they turned off the apps at the height of rush hour got a lot of press. Yes. Alerted a lot of people that stuff is going on that's not right. Might have had something with the $20 billion drop at the initial public offering. So for them, in the business section, to have a whole page saying that the Uber strike didn't work kind of tells me that the Uber strike worked.
It worked.
I think it was effective in that it brought it to
Hey, listen to this. Yeah. Listen to this. Ruben Diaz Sr. should be mayor.
Yeah, with the cowboy hat.
Okay. No, I'm serious. You know,
he won't back down.
Yeah, no, I'm voting for him for mayor. You know, I'm going to send in my lifetime New York citizenship vote. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, you know, in the same vein, it helped Jumaane Williams win the public advocate position. I think he would have won anyway, but it helped him that a day before the election, Nomiki Kunst and Melissa Mark Viverito started raising a 10-year-old issue about him, that he had a girlfriend that he had a fight with, and the girlfriend called the police, and he got arrested. But she never pressed charges, and she won't even talk about it now. It was a big nothing. But, you know, that they brought this up the day before the election. That actually caused more people to go out and vote for Jumaane, including me. I was going to vote for him anyway, probably.
Listen to this.
Over the edge, definitely.
To this. The United States of America has in the Constitution that you cannot be president unless if you were born in the United States of America.
Right.
I think that should also apply to New York City. You can't be in any elected office in New York City unless you were born in New York City.
Oh, then Jumaane Williams couldn't be, because I think he was born in the Caribbean. It's a small island.
Yeah, and where was our city council speaker born? Where was our mayor born? Where was Joshy born?
He's trying to be the third Boston mayor in a row. He wants to be third Boston mayor in a row.
Hey, listen, I was born in New York City, all right?
Yep.
I was born in Brooklyn Jewish Hospital, okay, which is still there. It's not Jewish Hospital anymore, okay? It was on, I think, Myrtle Avenue or somewhere, something like that, okay? Mm-hmm. I went to school in New York City in Brooklyn at the George Wingate High School. I went to PS 221, okay? I went to Winthrop Junior High School, okay? I am a New Yorker.
Oh, you know what? Jumaane Williams went to, not Bronx High School of Science, he went to Brooklyn Tech. So I think he came here as a very small child. So he's a New Yorker because he's
then just make an exception.
Jumaane also said in public in a council hearing that the yellow taxi owners should sue the Wazoo off New York City
I agree.
So he's got my vote.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll make an exception for people if they weren't born in New York City, they have to live here since they're less than 5 years old. In other words, if they're 2 years old and they move here and they grew up here, I'll make that exception. You're a New Yorker, okay? But I don't want people from Boston coming to New York City and becoming mayor, okay? I don't want
California
or wherever, okay?
you
grew up in Boston, run for mayor in Boston, okay? All right?
Yeah.
Run for president. You're an American, all right? But New Yorkers should be in office, mayor, city council, anything that has to do with the welfare of New York City residents, the people should have been native New Yorkers. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Well, because New York does have a culture. I mean, we have many different cultures and races and religions, but we do have a New York culture. And the people who come in from the outside, and there have been people, city council members who've said this to me, they don't understand our culture. And they come in and they'll say, well, the bike lanes worked, you know, in Amsterdam. Yeah, of course they worked in Amsterdam because everybody obeys the rules in Amsterdam. It's very well organized. It worked fine in China. It works fine in many places. It doesn't work here because New Yorkers don't obey rules. That's our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's out for themselves here. We're not nice people in New York. We're just not. We're not polite.
Carolyn and Abe, and that's it. Me sometimes, you know.
Yeah, well, being polite has nothing to do with whether you should be in office. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? You don't have to be polite.
That's for the president.
I think you need somebody abrasive to be mayor in the city.
Well, look, you need somebody that's going to do the right thing. Okay? And not accept, not listen, talk to lobbyists all day long and say, well, what can you do for me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You want this, or what are you going to do for me? You know, you're going to contribute to my presidential campaign? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I have no chance of being president, but I'll take your donation. All right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's our problem. We don't have donations. The individual medallion owners, I mean, just a very minor way. I mean, I guess people contributed, you know, to this candidate, that candidate. But, we don't have a machine, you know, like Webney, the Real Estate Board of New York or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody listens to you.
We should have.
Yeah.
I mean, going back years, there were a couple of Hack Pack and Lanto and all these people had these things. Utah.
Right.
And you had a machine a while back, but for some reason it fell away, and I don't know what happened. It didn't fill up with the money, and, you know, money is the gasoline of the political gas tank. And once the car don't move, it ain't got no gas. Once the money dries up, these politicians couldn't give a spit whether you lived or died. And I hate to be too cynical, but in my opinion, that's...
Well, maybe there should be a limit on the amount of money that the politicians can make.
Okay? Right, it would just be public funded and not a big amount of money with some free time on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and just do it that way so everybody is... I hate that expression,
look,
level playing field.
Something's
got to
change. Look, something's got to change. Something has got to change. Okay?
Well, that's why you're seeing more populist people be elected, whether you agree with them or you don't agree with them, you know, who had very small donations, supposedly, like Ocasio-Cortez or, what's the other one, Jessica Ramos, I think, and, you know, some other ones. You know, what's interesting what Ocasio-Cortez said about Ruben Diaz, she was interviewed by Errol Lewis, like, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, you know, he did like a whole video with her on his program, and, you know, she said, look, Ruben Diaz looks after his, you know, constituents. He tries to protect the drivers, and I will work with him. You know, which was a very smart thing for her to say.
Well,
whatever you think about her other ideas, but you know, that's realistic.
Well, listen, I'm going out to drive a cab in a few minutes. So I just
Day. It's raining. That's terrific.
And yes. Well, we'll see. We shall see.
Yeah, and Mother's Day. Yeah, they don't want to get their hairdos wet and everything, so that should be good. That's going to work for you.
Me neither. I hate when my hair gets wet. I'm like a cat. So, all right. So, can I go to work and let you guys wrap the show? Can I do that?
You could do that. Why don't we just wrap it right now? I think we said enough. Just let me ask. let me ask Carolyn. What's coming up in the next couple of weeks that people should know about?
Well, we're still, you know, watching all the lawsuits. There's the Uber lawsuit to stop the cap.
Right.
Which is up in August, so somebody has to decide something by then. Uber tried to have the venue of a lawsuit moved to the commercial division of the New York State Supreme Court, and the judge said no. Other than that, I don't know what's going on in there, because I haven't seen any response from the city that I can see that's posted on that New York State Court website. So that's very important. What's going to be happening, you know, with that cap. There's no, you know, hearings coming up that I know of at TLC or City Council concerning us. The taxi task force was never put together. So we're just sort of in a holding pattern for the time being. But we hope, you know, that we can do something about the congestion surcharge and get the City Council members to sign on to a letter telling New York State that yellow cabs, and I guess green cabs too, should not have to pay the congestion surcharges, any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's one interesting thing. In the testimony at the hearing on Friday, the TLC, Bill Heinzen, said that they're changing up the green grants that are being given to green wheelchair-accessible cabs.
Mm-hmm.
They're lifting the $30,000 cap, which I think means they're going to continue giving $4,000 a year, every year, as long as that car remains on the road. And I can't see how they could do that and that it wouldn't also apply to yellow. And I read in another part of the rules, it sounds like they're going to do the same thing for yellow. And yet nobody I know who drives a wheelchair-accessible cab knows about it.
The fund where everybody pays 30 cents for a trip, which is called the TIF fund.
TIF
okay.
Fund.
Is it all one fund, the yellows and the green?
I think it is now.
Well, if it is, then they have to do it for the yellow and the green.
Yeah, I would think
okay,
so.
You know,
but that's
so.
A big deal if you're going to get, well, not that big a deal, but, I mean, it helps because those wheelchair-accessible cabs, you know, they're very expensive to fix.
Okay.
And just when you really need to be spending more money at the end of the 3 or 4 years, you know, it was going to stop. So it's good if they're continuing it. It's something.
Well, I like it if it continues and the money is paid out, okay? You said a couple of weeks ago that the money was late. Do you have any update on that?
Oh, yeah, whether the drivers I know who drive wheelchair accessible got paid, I have to ask them. As of a week or so ago, no, they hadn't gotten paid.
Well, that's...
You know, sometimes they don't collect the money. Sometimes they don't send the money out. I mean, there's a
problem. I just paid the first quarter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
January, February, March, I just paid it. The money's in. They're collecting it now, okay?
Right.
All right.
When would you normally have had to pay it? By sometime in April?
Well, if the money was available April 1st, the money's...
No, but I mean normally, if it's January, February, March, it was acting the way it normally would.
Sometimes they wait and they'll collect two quarters at the same time or one after the other within a couple of weeks. Okay, but right now, up to date would be January, February, March, and they want the money now. Okay, so I paid it already. Okay,
right.
I don't know. You know what I do is I check laws every day. Okay. Familiar with laws, Carolyn?
Yeah, that's the automatic system that you could log into.
Yeah, okay, you could check. You could check
for a driver to check on what you owe and
right.
All the
well, I check it at least once a week if I forget.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the last time I checked was earlier this week or this past week, and yes, they did want the first quarter, January, February, March. So I immediately gave it to them because I don't want to hold it. Okay.
All right.
And I would recommend any medallion owner, you know, to check laws and see if you owe your money now, because you probably do. All right.
Right.
You know, they have, but I haven't seen an official notice go out yet. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to just thank our sponsors, the MTBOT, Checker Management, Queens Medallion, McGinnis Management, and WB Taxi. Thank you for helping us and supporting us. And anybody else who wants to support us, drop us an email, nyctaxinews@gmail.com, or call 516-447-0956 and give us a call, leave a message. I will personally get back to you. Okay?
And tweet. Don't forget the tweet.
And tweet. And we do have a Twitter site, nyctaxinews at Twitter. Okay? An imposter out there calling himself NYC Taxi News, also on Twitter. So you want the one that's NYC Taxi News at, okay? And, okay, all right. So don't be fooled by any imposters out there, you know, who are calling themselves that, okay? I want to warn people, all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good to know.
You know, you go to my Twitter site, NYC Taxi News, and... you'll see I'll tell you what you'll see. You'll see NYC Taxi News in large letters with the URL www.nyctaxinews.com. Okay? And and my little trademark circle, NYC Taxi News. Okay?
Beautiful.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you again soon. Just stay tuned. We don't do shows weekly, but we will do more shows here and there.
More shows coming up, yes.
More shows coming up. Carolyn, thanks for sitting in again.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome to sit in anytime. And Mike, go to work.
Yeah. Thank you, Abe and Carolyn.
Okay.
And thank you very much. And thank you, Mother Nature, for making it rain on Mother's Day.
Yes.
This way the cabbies can pay for their flowers and candy. So, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.